Would like to read Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, to start with on that, which is actually the text of it in Deuteronomy. And we read there, "Honour your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Tonight's theme is the fifth commandment, the call to honour our father and mother. In Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39, that there's one question and answer there that expounds the Bible's teaching on that, on the meaning of this commandment. And if you wanted to turn to page 46 in the Book of Worship, you'll find it there, but I think it's going to be projected for us in a moment. I hope it's going to be projected for us in a moment. It is. So I'll just read the whole thing as a sort of a catechism lesson. So the question is, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? And the answer is that I honour, love and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. I'd just like to pray before I begin. Father, we thank you that we can spend some time looking in to your law. We thank you that we know that your law is timeless, that the Lord Jesus Christ confirmed that it was not abolished, but that it indeed continues. And we pray that you would help us to see the wonder of it, the value of it, and to delight that you've given us this continued goodness and that it manifests your goodness and love. So please bless me as I bring this sermon to the congregation here. We pray that your spirit would be active and help us to grow in our understanding of your good word and how to live by it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The sermon I'm reading tonight is entitled God Reveals His Goodness and Love in the Fifth Commandment. Beloved congregation of Christ, honour your father and mother. Those six words of the Fifth Commandment appear to be simple and straightforward, but we all know from real life that they're anything but. Because a lot of times parents just don't seem to understand. When you're young, especially when we're in our teenage years, we often have a hard time honouring parents. Sometimes we see things in them that make it hard for us to honour them, let alone love and obey. Of course, it's not always like that, but sometimes it is. And when you get a bit older and get married, there's always the age-old struggle to leave and cleave. Some people, especially mothers, have a hard time with that, and it can create tension between adult children and their parents. Finally, the day comes when your parents have died and are gone to the Lord. Many times you're left with good memories. But in a broken world, it isn't always that way. Honouring fathers and mothers is many times a lifelong struggle. It starts with the crib and continues past the coffin. Despite this tension, the scripture frames the fifth commandment in a positive way. There's something invigorating and life-affirming about this commandment. It's designed for our flourishing. In fact, if we consider it more carefully, we see God's goodness and love revealed in the fifth commandment. So this evening, we'll have that as our theme. God reveals his goodness and love in the fifth commandment. We'll learn how he reveals his goodness and love in, firstly, the past, secondly, the present, and thirdly, into eternity. We heard it in our reading from Ephesians 6. We also hear it on Sunday when the Ten Commandments are read in the morning service. The fifth commandment comes with a promise. This brings us to our first point. God reveals his goodness and love in the past. The promise in the Old Testament had two parts, and they're both closely connected. The first part of the promise was a long life. The second part of the promise was a long life in the promised land. So, the first part had to do with the span of years, and the second part, where that span of years was going to be spent. A long life was highly desirable, and it was thought to be even more worthwhile when it could be spent in the land God had promised to the patriarchs, the land that had long been associated with your family history. So if God's people followed the fifth commandment, they expected these two blessings from God's hand. In this way, the fifth commandment held out something positive and good for God's people. It spoke of God's goodness and love towards them. But these blessings weren't automatic. It wasn't like a vending machine where you stick your obedience in the coin slot and out the bottom comes a long life and a long life in the land to boot. No. Sometimes God in his providence decided that it's better for one of his faithful people to have a shorter life. Think of King Josiah, for instance. He was one of the more faithful kings in Israel's history. Yet the Lord decided to cut his life short at 39 years of age. Nevertheless, the general principle was still in place. If the people of God were faithful, also with the fifth commandment, they could expect a long life in the promised land. This general principle was directly related to the covenant relationship God had with his people. God kept his promise and delivered his people from slavery in Egypt. They were given freedom and life. And keeping this freedom and life was connected to their living within the terms of the covenant relationship with God, following the guidelines of his law. If the people decided to go their own way, they were on the way back to slavery. There was freedom and living within the framework of the relationship God made with his people. The fifth commandment formed part of this framework. It was meant to speak of God's goodness and love to these people who'd been redeemed from slavery. However, the repeated failure of the people of Israel turned the commandment away from its good purpose. Now, Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 7. He says in verse 12, "So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good." In verse 10, Paul says that the commandment, speaking generally, was intended to bring life. Instead, it actually brought death. There was nothing wrong with the commandment. The commandment was good and life-affirming. The problem was with Paul, actually with every individual believer. And what was true in the spiritual life of Paul was also true in the spiritual life of the people of God in the Old Testament, who also had the fifth commandment. One of the most catastrophic events in the Old Testament was the exile into Babylon. There was a whole package of moral and spiritual failures which led to this event. Micah 7 verse 6 says that part of this package was a failure to honour parents. Then Isaiah 3 tells us how God used this failure as part of his judgment on Israel. He told the people that they'd have children ruling over the adults and the young people rebelliously rising up against the old. They sowed the wind and they reaped the whirlwind of God's wrath. When the fifth commandment was followed, there were blessings to be had and God's love to be enjoyed. But when the fifth commandment was ignored, it was bad news for the people of God. It led to judgment and ultimately exile. The fifth commandment was and is such a foundational part of the created order. In other words, you can't ignore it without causing trouble, judgment, in divine wrath. Hebrews 3 makes it clear that the failures of the people of God in the Old Testament are there as warnings to us. So we have to learn from history, see how they messed up and suffered for it, and don't go there. But more than that, the failures of Israel were a cry for a saviour. With each failure, the cry became louder. We need somebody to save us. And then our Lord Jesus came into the world. We read from Luke 2, and we saw some confusion on the part of his parents when he was back in the temple engaged with some deep discussions with the rabbis. Joseph and Mary didn't understand his mission, what he was about. But despite that, he was still obedient to them. We see that in verse 51. By his obedience to the fifth word of the covenant, Jesus Christ revealed God's goodness and love too. How? Because his obedience is now our obedience. When our Lord Jesus kept the fifth commandment, he was doing it in our place. God credits his obedience to us. Now, with their moral failures, the people of Israel in the Old Testament were crying out for such a saviour. Such a saviour who would also pour out his Spirit. The Spirit would put God's law in the minds and on the hearts of God's people. This would empower God's people to fully experience God's goodness and love and giving this commandment. They do that as they live it out in their lives, as they live in that covenant relationship with their Creator God. So, the only way the fifth commandment can really be showing God's goodness and love for us today is in connection with the Saviour. Let's work that out further for a moment, and this brings us to our second point. God reveals his goodness and love in the present. You know, a lot of unbelievers can keep the fifth commandment, or at least it looks that way. In a superficial way, it looks like they're following God's law here. But as our catechism shows, there's far more to the fifth commandment than just outwardly obeying or honouring our parents and others in authority. There's an internal heart issue as well. For example, there's the question of why we keep the fifth commandment. Without Christ, we might be obeying the commandment at some superficial level, but it's not out of faith. Not out of faith in Christ or love for God. And if that's not the case, it ultimately amounts to nothing. For a time, sure, God uses this to restrain the evil in our society. But in the long run, for the individual involved, faithless, superficial obedience to the fifth commandment is not worth anything in any ultimate sense. But with believers, it's different. Believers want to follow the fifth commandment in a meaningful way because we've been brought into a relationship with our God through our Saviour Jesus. As a consequence, we love him deeply and we long to follow his will. We're thankful for the freedom we have in Christ. We want to show our thanks so that we can continue living out of that freedom to the glory of God. For that reason, God expects that our relationship with him will be meaningfully reflected in the way we relate to our parents and others in authority over us. Our covenant relationship with God will be seen in our relationships with those that God has put over us. As the Spirit leads us to do these things, our lives will be blessed. Now, this happens in three ways. First of all, there's God's good blessing when we give our thanks to God by showing honour, love and faithfulness to our fathers and mothers and others in authority over us. How? Well, these things, honour, love and faithfulness, they're markers of healthy relationships. When you honour someone, you show that you value them, that you esteem them. When you love someone, you're willing to make all kinds of self-sacrifices for them. When you show faithfulness, you demonstrate commitment and loyalty. Healthy relationships include these things. We desire healthy and whole relationships with others, don't we? Those are the kinds of relationships in which we can all flourish to the glory of God. These are the kinds of relationships we were created to be in. We don't want conflict and angst in our lives. And the blessed reality is that healthy relationships with our parents and others in authority will result when we show honour, love, and faithfulness. That's our first reason, first way. Secondly, there is God's good blessing when we submit ourselves with due obedience to the good instruction and discipline of our parents and other authorities. Think about it. What's at the root of such submission? It's humility. Humility is an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5. Humility is something to be cultivated and valued in our lives. It moves us forward along the road of sanctification. When we accept instruction and discipline, we show that we know ourselves to be students in the school of the Holy Spirit. And partly through this, we also receive assurance that we are the children of God. At this point, I want to say something about the limits of submission and obedience. Many times, it's happened that people have abused the fifth commandment for their own selfish pleasures. That's wrong. It's wicked and sinful. Let me say it clearly. We don't owe unconditional allegiance, submission, and obedience to anyone other than God. It can happen that parents, teachers, or others might tell you to do something that they should never tell you to do. You are under no obligation to listen to them. You will not be sinning if you say that you will not listen. No one can use the fifth commandment to justify abuse of any kind. And if someone is doing that, you need to tell somebody about it, to tell them to stop. But so long as the one over us is telling us something that doesn't go against God's will, we are to submit ourselves with due obedience. And when we do that, it will go well with us, and the Lord will use that to help us grow in our walk with Him. And finally, we'll also experience God's goodness and love when we show patience with the weaknesses and shortcomings of parents and others. We all know about weaknesses and shortcomings. Parents have them, and so do teachers, office bearers, and anybody else in a position of authority. But we're to be patient. That means that we're willing to put up with a lot. At the root of this is humility again, but there's more. There's also a respect for God and His sovereignty in our lives. God gave us these parents, this teacher, these elders, and so on. It was no accident. In His wisdom, God put us together. When we recognize that, it's a good thing, because it helps us to depend on God's providence, that somehow, even though we may be frustrated right now, God will make it work out. When we humble ourselves before the Lord and put ourselves in His hands, that's always a good thing. In His love, our good God blesses it so that it bears beneficial fruit in our lives and in our walk with the Lord. At the end, for Christians, following the 10 words of the covenant is about freedom. We're filled with the Spirit of Christ, and through the daily putting to death of our old nature, we're being more and more freed from slavery to sin. We're being made free so that our relationships with those over us on earth reflects the relationship we have with the one over us in heaven. You see, spiritual freedom is not about freedom from relationships. It's about living in relationships the way we were created to. True spiritual freedom is about flourishing in relationships the way God intended us to, according to his will. That's one of the ways God shows his kindness to his children in this present age. That brings us to our third point. We want to also consider the future, eternity. Now, Ephesians 6 emphasizes the fifth commandment comes with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. The point is that obedience to God's law here brings positive benefits for God's people. The point is that these promises begin now. And when we are in Christ, living out of thankful obedience, that promise is for us too. It's a general positive principle that's worked out in numerous proverbs in the Old Testament. Think of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 to 22, for example. We read there, "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you." There's also a flip side to that, as there are to all the commandments. The general rule is encapsulated in Proverbs 13, verse 15b. "The way of the unfaithful is hard." In his word, God gives these general principles to show that obedience and disobedience, that both of them, have definite consequences beginning right now. Of course, there are also consequences that extend into eternity. And here, there are no exceptions to the general principle. For us who believe in Christ, for us who live in thankful obedience to our God as the fruit of our salvation, we have the promise of an inheritance waiting for us. And this idea of an inheritance ties directly into the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is first of all about relationships between parents and children, bringing these relationships to fully reflect the relationship between God and his spiritual children through Christ. Through our Lord Jesus, we've been made adopted sons of God. I said sons of God, not children of God. It has to be sons of God. That's because in Bible times, it was especially the sons who received the inheritance from their father. Our position with God is as sons, no matter what our gender might be. We're sons. That means we're the ones privileged to be in line for an inheritance. Because of who we are in Christ, we're going to receive a share in God's kingdom. Our inheritance is going to be the new earth, not merely a long life on the earth, but an eternity on the earth that will be given to us. A new earth in which we'll rule together with our Saviour. The fifth commandment receives its final and fullest fulfillment in the new age that'll start when our Lord Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead. After that judgment, all our relationships will be made whole. Also the ones that were broken and twisted in this world. Then, because we are in Christ, all things will be truly made well for us, and we will truly live in the land that the Lord has in store for us. The only way the fifth commandment can be properly received as a revelation of God's goodness and love is if we read it as people who have their identity in Christ. Are we God's people through Christ? Then our being in Christ must bear fruit through living in union with Christ, living in the ways God has set out for us. Like our head Jesus, we live in obedience to God's law. When we let the Spirit guide our lives in that way, we'll continue to see God's love and goodness for us today and in the life to come. Amen. Let's pray. Our dear and most gracious Father in heaven, help us to delight in your ways. We thank you for this fifth commandment and the goodness and love that it reveals to us. Help us to bear fruit as those in union with Christ. May your Spirit so work genuine, faithful obedience in us that we may manifest your goodness and love in our lives and so bring praise and glory unto you. We thank you that we have these great promises and that the blessings come both now in this life but also very much in the future as well. And so help us to have our eyes fixed on Christ and on the wonderful inheritance that's to come to us in eternity. We pray this and we thank you for your amazing grace revealed to us in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.